Hello and welcome to Clever Content, a podcast from Content OD. In each episode, we pick out and talk through some of the best content-related news and stories from around the web. You can find out more by heading to contentod.co.uk/podcast, and don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice. I'm Ian. Today I'm joined, as always, or as mostly, by Phil.
Not always. I'm not always here.
No, that's why I thought I'd change it.
Yeah. Hi.
And making his debut, the head of video, chief of coffee at Content OD, it's Rich.
Hi. Chief of coffee. Is that because I make the most?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, that'd be a great competition for the office, wouldn't it? We should have a score chart to see who really makes the most coffee.
Or the best coffee.
Yeah, or the best coffee. That's even better.
It can go next to the bin rotor. we've got one main topic that we're going to talk about, and then later on we're going to talk about video, how we make video, what we do when a client comes along and says they want a video, hence Richard's presence today. But first of all, we're going to talk about Airbnb, who have launched themselves into a kind of a new area by making their own documentary. So just to be clear, we're talking about the Airbnb, the website. It's a website, that's all it is really, isn't it?
An app.
Yeah, we talk about always, it's a such and such a platform. They're just all websites really, where you can go and choose a house that belongs to somebody else and live in it. We all know what Airbnb is. But that's why it's slightly surprising that they have decided to move into the world of making or producing documentaries. Phil, would you like to tell us more about this particular documentary?
Yes, happily. I a bit of background first, I suppose. If you looked at Content OD's team, you would see that in our bios, a lot of our background is rooted in documentary. I started in documentary filmmaking. Dave did as well. Dave's worked in TV and documentary, and Richard's been on that journey as well with us. So we're very much rooted in documentary, video, and film production as a business. It is one of our services alongside the kind of animation and social media and content creation. A little plug there for the business. That was good, wasn't it? So we're quite familiar with documentaries, the film festival circuit, and the kind of benefits and marketing benefits of it. So naturally, this caught my eye. Been turned on to brands, especially Airbnb, who have had a fair bit of controversy and good and bad PR in the past. And it's nothing new, really. Branded content, choosing to use video and film as a way to create brand awareness and tell your story. And Airbnb have produced a documentary called Gay Chorus Deep South, and it's their first ever film. I'm assuming it'll be on the festival circuit in 2019, but it's set to premiere at the 2019 Tribeca Film Festival, or it already has done, actually, on April 29th. Great film festival, Tribeca. Some of the documentaries that I've worked on have been to Tribeca, which is a really good thing. And essentially, it's a documentary that follows the 300-member San Francisco gay men's chorus on a 10-day tour across the southeastern US, with the goal of inspiring conversation around inclusivity and civil rights. The film documents the challenges the singers faced as they brought their music into people's homes, churches, and concert halls. And I've quoted that directly from Variety.com's article. I have to admit, we haven't watched it because we can't yet, because it's on the festival circuit. But we will do when it comes out. We've seen a couple of clips.
Trailers.
We've seen the trailers, haven't we, Rich?
Yeah.
The interesting thing for us is that the Airbnb are doing this at all. It's so far away from from their core business.
Yeah, it is. But it's not a new thing. This is, you know, it's made great headlines. But it's not a new thing. But creating brand content, I mean, you only have to look at the likes of, who do you hold up Red Bull. Red Bull are probably the best in the world at this. They are digital, they are media publishers. They create great content and they share it across the web. They align with showcasing their brand through sport, through things that people enjoy. They're not shouting about their product. They're just putting their product in places where it's going to be seen by people who are enjoying something else. So Formula One, for example. I think you spoke about earlier about, you mentioned the Felix Baumgartner jumping from space. I mean, what's that got to do with drinks, energy drinks?
Well, I guess it's for Red Bull, it's aligned with what they see as their, not necessarily their values, but kind of that kind of high octane, gives you energy, yeah. Gives you wings, all
gives
that, kind,
wings,
of, all that kind of stuff. It's the idea that it somehow relates to the product. Yeah. This is slightly different though, because it doesn't really bear any relation to the product whatsoever. But they've said that it was produced in kind of direct response to like the political climate in the US and in particular discriminatory anti-LGBTQ laws in the southern states in the US. And so it's I guess on one level you could see it as a political statement. But it's also kind of putting a mark in the ground as to what the company believes in and what it kind of stands for. So I think is a really interesting thing for a company of this size to do.
You're right. All the press releases, all the news about this across the web is talking about how Airbnb have aligned their values and with this film and how that flows through. Airbnb, I'm quoting here, but Airbnb is in a space of telling stories of belonging and acceptance.
And they've not, this isn't particularly new to them as well as a company. They've got a long stance on LGBT+ inclusion. So they campaigned for equal marriage in Australia in 2017. In 2016, they hired Barack Obama's former Attorney General, Eric Holder, who helped craft their non-discrimination policies. And they've later launched a policy providing alternative accommodation to guests who, this is a quote, guests who anywhere in the world feel like they've been discriminated against. So this isn't, they're not jumping on a, you know, on like a political agenda here. This isn't brand new to them. This is like a topic that they know a lot about.
Yeah, they're proving to be consistent with that. And all they're doing here is using a different medium to tell that story. And that's at the crux of it. It's about, for them, it's about telling stories clearly. And that's what Red Bull do, isn't it?
Yeah, so I have a question. So essentially they've produced a piece of art. It's a documentary and you know, you could argue that it's a creative endeavor, as opposed to lots of other sort of CSR strategies. So, you know, lots of companies, especially when you get to a certain size, have a corporate social responsibility strategy and that can be done in lots of different ways. Most of those things, and I think probably the things that you just described as well, Rich, are usually done, if not entirely in private, it's not always kind of something that would garner lots of publicity. And something like this is not just going to get publicity, but it's meant to be seen. It's not just for example, an internal team. It's not just for a specific community or country, as you just referenced, Rich. This is something that's meant for everyone. So where's the line between something like this, where you're creating something for as part of a CSR strategy because it's what you believe in, and a piece of marketing activity?
I see it as a bit of a brand association link in a way. Instead of going out and sponsoring a company that you believe in or that you want to be a part of, it's a way of gaining a new audience through content. And I guess it's if they're the things that you believe in, then you are attracting the right customer as well. So if these are the things that you really believe in, then yeah, you are kind of targeting a certain type of person who shares that belief. And that's the kind of person that you want to associate with your brand and with your company. And
yeah, I was just going to say, I don't think this answers your question about corporate social responsibility. But as I said before, it's nothing new. I've been in countless meetings with clients where I've said, create long form documentary or film, or do something video based that's a series that people can enjoy and engage with and buy into, because the way that it'll portray your brand or your business will be one that connects with people.
What kind of, you may not be able to name specific clients, but what kind of briefs were you giving that response to? What kind of creative brief did you respond with, you should do a documentary?
Well, no, this was just kind of proactively conversations with existing clients where I'd always try to persuade them to make long form documentary, because that's what our business is rooted in, and that was and is kind of my passion, really, the filmmaking side of it. So I always wanted them to do that, purely for selfish reasons, but also because I believed in it as a vehicle for evoking emotion, giving people something to connect with and enjoy or be intrigued by, and as a result of that, you're going to create brand awareness through the stories that you tell, and it much easier than just talking about product or product benefits or things like that. So
this ties a little bit with my next question. This is this is a full documentary with an experienced director. It's a pretty full on production. So is this type of thing only available to $1 billion companies like Airbnb? You would suggest not. The answer you've just given, the idea.
No, YouTube, there's your platform. Go and do it for a lot less budget.
But what about if you're a small to medium sized business and you want to try and reach more people, or even if you want to get across, or you support a particular cause, or get across a particular kind of message, or that relates to your brand values. If you're in a similar sort of position, but you're much, much smaller than Airbnb, yes, YouTube's the platform, but how might, is the option to do something like this?
Yeah, if you know what you stand for as a business, if you have a passion based around why that business or brand or product started, then document that on film. Employ a filmmaker to come and follow you for, I don't know, it could be a short film, spending a day in the life. There are various ways of cutting a film together that is not expensive, but will represent you and your product in a really honest and effective way. And I think people buy into that. And that's what documentary does. And that's what Airbnb will achieve with this. People will see it as I think, being as a great insight into maybe what they stand for, or into a topic that people can connect with.
I think it's the challenge is often a brand or a company understanding why they should create something that doesn't directly link or sell in their objectives or sells in their product, because I think not every company, but often they'll underestimate the audience a little bit and assume that the audience will be really confused by that and ask questions. Well, why are they making that? It's got nothing to do with us. But the reality is that doesn't happen. I don't think anyone is going to be upset at Airbnb for making a documentary that doesn't tell them about their product and about their service.
No,
people
you're right.
will be interested and be like, oh, well, okay, that's interesting. Now I know a little bit more about their values and what they believe in.
Somebody sent me something to read the other day, and I read it, and I've pulled a quote out, and it's the essence of it was something like, stop talking about yourself and start talking about what your audience already cares about. And that's that flows through or can flow through film, can't it? Film, documentary, video. So they're certainly doing that, aren't they, Airbnb?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the why doesn't really matter. Like, I don't really care. It just feels like a really positive, from watching the trailer anyway. Who knows what actually happens? In the, but it's a positive message. It seems like it could be like a good documentary, which is what, you know, at the heart of it needs to be. But I really quite like the idea that a company, and again, I think this goes for any size, actually kind of just stands up for what's right. Because you could argue, and I'm sure some people probably did in the team meetings, that there's an element of risk involved in this, because there are lots of people who might not necessarily agree with the subject matter, particularly in the area that it's targeted at. And so from a business point of view, you could easily, I'm sure, argue, this is a bad idea, it's too risky, lots of people won't use Airbnb. And there's something about a company, yes, Airbnb are in a position to take those risks because they're already obviously, you know, a $1 billion company. But still, they still have to actually go and do it and to say, this is the right thing, it's what we believe in, and we don't care whether you disagree with it. You know, you're on the wrong side of history here, and then just do it, put it out there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and you're making me come back to the format again of
document. I thought you were going to say it's well up then, just with the emotion of the...
you're making me think about the format of documentary film again, or TV as a platform for telling stories. So kind of totally different industry, but I remember a few years ago in the UK Channel 5, Stobart Trucking Company did a documentary series, and I'm pretty sure it was brand funded to make it. And it created personalities of the drivers. It was funny. It was insightful. It got people talking about it. And as a consequence, brand awareness is created. And it's using that format of video and film. And I think in terms of clever content, video and film should be part of your marketing mix. It should be part of what you're creating as a company or a brand.
Good segue, Phil. We're getting better at this podcast business.
But we don't know about that.
Before we move on to our video section of the podcast, I'm going to tell you about the Clever Content newsletter. We send it out every fortnight. It's full of interesting and useful stuff related to content that we find from around the internet. You can go and subscribe right now at contentod.co.uk/blog. There's a little sign up form there towards the top of the page, or you can go to newsletter.contentod.co.uk to read all the back issues. Okay, so let's try and answer a question. When a client says that they want a video, where do you start? This one is definitely not for me, this question.
Oh, this is our advice section, isn't it?
Well, let's see.
Aptly named advice section.
Where do we start? Okay, so years ago, I think we'd just jump in and we'd be excited that we've got a new video project in, and we'd be...
Because we were makers, weren't we?
We wanted to pick up the camera and get involved. But now I think the first thing we do is ask the question, why do you want a film? We often get a video from a client and it will say, we like this, we want to make something similar. So we need to find out why they want to make that content. What's the message? What do they want to get out of this film? And often after having that conversation, the film that they thought they were going to make, they don't make. It's something completely different. We want to know what their strategy is, who their audience is. So yeah, the pre-production phase of making a film is, or a video, is very, very important, and that's something that we've learned over the years.
Massively important, isn't it? We kind of cut our video production service into three: pre-production, production, and post-production, and that's inspired by how we create documentary. Back in the day, but pre-production now we'd spend a long, long time in that phase, wouldn't we, if we could?
Yeah, and I think it's because we're a relatively small business, so we see every stage of production ourselves, and there's been occasions where we've got to a post-production stage and suddenly we're asked for a different type of shot or material that we haven't captured in production, and that's because that wasn't kind of explicitly said in the pre-production phase. And you know, we never want to get to that. We never want to be in that position again. We want to make sure that as soon as we're going into production, we know exactly what we're getting. It's storyboarded. We know the messages. We know what questions we need to ask if we're filming an interview. I guess it's your pre-production is so important because it's that's your safety net, I think. And without that, you don't know what you're going to get. So yeah, it's the most important part of producing a video.
Is there an element of it being different to other types of content because it's expensive to like shoot video? Therefore, if it's not quite right, it's much harder to go back as opposed to say rewrite a piece of copy or something like that.
Yeah, I think people that don't work in media don't realise how long it takes to create something, whether it's video or animation. And when you're out on a shoot day, you know, it is very expensive. There's a lot of people, potentially you've got a big crew, you're potentially hiring out extra kit. You know, if you miss one thing, that's the whole, potentially the whole shoot day, you know, needs redoing. And that would eat into your budget. You know, you can't magically grant another few thousand pounds to go out and do it again. So there's no room for error on a shoot. There is absolutely no room for error. You know, there's a lot of pressure on us to make sure that we get what we need to get because there's no second chance.
How easy is it to persuade clients to invest in the pre-production process?
I'd say not too difficult. I think suddenly you're into a pre-production. It's a difficult one because suddenly you're into a pre-production stage without signing off any pre-production. You're already going into meetings and you're already talking about concepts and ideas, and the project hasn't been signed off yet. So, you know, suddenly we're having to explain that, and we're having to explain why this stage is so important. I think after a meeting or two, they will start to understand that. I think the difficulty sometimes is helping them understand what is best, because they might have an idea in their head as, right, we want to copy this video, or we want to do something similar to this video. And that after we've actually done a little bit of research and found out what their objectives are, we'll say, you know, we might go back and say, actually, no, we think this would be far better. You should be doing this. And I think that's the challenging bit, because often when you've got an idea in your head and you like something, everyone's the same. It's difficult to kind of go back on that and change your ideas and change your thoughts.
Sometimes we do get a really well-written brief, and I think the expectation is that all that's needed is just to go out and film it and create the video and edit it. And that for me is a big flag. So if we ever have those circumstances, we will take time to take stock, to discuss it, and explain why and how the pre-production phase works. And I think that's one of the biggest tips I would give.
And do you have a set process that you do every time, or is it better to be flexible? Or?
It depends on the idea. It depends on what the client wants to achieve, what their objectives are. Because often the idea that the client or the inspiration they may have, in our opinion and with our knowledge of the industry, we may know that it just may not work.
So I think, yeah, we have like the foundations are there to kind of go through stages and a process, but depending on the client and who they are, there is an element of flexibility there, because it might be that they've sent us like Phil's just said, a really detailed brief that we need to kind of potentially change. It might be that the other way around, we get nothing other than a couple of bullet points as to what they want, and we end up creating a brief for them, which they then amend. So yeah, it I think the process is down, but there's definitely some flexibility depending on what the project is and who the client is.
And how much audience research is involved? Would you go out and, I guess, budget allowing, go and speak to the actual audience as opposed to just taking the client's word for it in terms of what they might?
Ideally, yes, definitely. Audience is key. You want to know what their objectives are and what the goals are for the project itself, and you want to validate that by understanding the community that's out there, especially for us, because a lot of our stuff goes online or is shared through social media. So we need to look into that first and foremost.
Well, that was all very interesting, useful. Thank you. Well, I thought so anyway. We'll see what everyone else thinks. Great. Well, if you want to subscribe to the Clever Content Podcast, which it would be the very obvious and sensible thing to do, then you can go to contentod.co.uk/podcast, or just go to your podcast app of choice and search for Clever Content, and we will probably turn up in there somewhere. And you can find out more about Content OD, the company, at contentod.co.uk. And I think that's about it. Until next time. Nothing from you two. Nothing.
Thank you.
Bye.